This morning's Bible reading, we read from Galatians 5, verse 1 to 12, on page 945 of the Red Pew Bibles. And just before Lucas reads the Bible, I'll just quickly pray. Holy God, thank you for bringing us together on this Remembrance Day. Thank you also that we can celebrate cadets today. As we read your word this morning, help us to understand your truth for us today. We ask that you give Dave wisdom and insight that he might explain your word to us in a way that is clear and true. Amen.
Galatians 5, verse 1 to 12. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law, who have been alienated from the Christ, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you only take one view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for these agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves.
Doesn't feel like too long ago that I was sitting down here in my cadet shirt, and I tried squeezing it on this morning, but it just doesn't quite fit anymore. So I've got the other one on. My name's Dave, and we are going to be looking into God's word together. Why don't we pray, and then I'll get into it. Dear Lord, please change our hearts this morning. Help us to see that true freedom comes from you and you only. Help me to be clear and help us all to concentrate. Amen. So today's passage is all about freedom. When I was thinking about freedom, I remembered a time in my life when I anticipated being set free. When I was living at home, I felt restricted by the boundaries that my parents set, and I was burdened by the jobs that I had to do around the house. I didn't feel free, so I couldn't wait to get out of home. When I thought about it, I'd picture living out of home something like this: no chores, unlimited Xbox time, and as much guitar playing as I liked. I wouldn't need to do any of the jobs that Mum and Dad made me do. Actually, I'd just relax all the time. So the time finally came for me to move out, and I did it. My first day of freedom was pretty hard work. I had to move all of my stuff, so I was pretty tuckered out at the end of the day. But after all this hard work, my freedom was fast approaching. It was going to get easier, and soon enough, I'd be deep in the freedom situation. But as I experienced my free life more and more, I actually saw that it was less and less how I'd expected it to be. The cost of living meant that I had to get a job. So there goes my unlimited Xbox time. And I realised that without Mum around, piles of dirty washing and dirty dishes didn't shrink themselves. So there goes my freedom from chores. And when I was hungry, there was nothing to eat. so I had to cook it or buy any food that I wanted to eat. When I did get some free time away from all the chores, I was so worn out that I just wanted to sleep. Yeah, I was free, but it wasn't how I expected. Moving out of home wasn't the constant breeze that I'd hoped. It actually gave me lots of jobs to do and even wore me out. In practice, my freedom was pretty hard work. What about you? Do you feel free? Are you experiencing freedom? Well, like me, have you been disappointed with the difference between expectation and reality? Well, verse 1 of today's passage says that Jesus sets us free. If you've shut your Bible, you can open it back up, follow along in the passage. We'll be back there lots today. We're going to look at three things from this passage this morning. The first is why we often don't feel free. And then second, we're going to look at how Jesus gives us true freedom. And finally, we'll think about living our newfound freedom. And the big thing I'd like to take away from today's sermon is that the gospel of Jesus gives true freedom. So the first thing that we're looking at from today's passage is two ways to lose your freedom. Galatians was a letter written to a church that wasn't really understanding freedom, and in fact, they were on the edge of making some decisions that would take it away from them. So Paul the Apostle writes to them to remind them of true freedom and how to keep it. So the first way to lose freedom that we see today is by needing to obey a bunch of rules. This is what we call legalism, and it's a sure way to feel weighed down as a Christian. This is nothing new for us, I'm sure. I've had friends that truly thought becoming a Christian meant signing your life away to strict obedience of rules and traditions. One guy even thought it was against the rules for me to spit. In the example of the Galatians, there were some people saying that to be part of God's people, you needed to be circumcised. To be right with God, you needed to obey this rule. Now, we're not going to go into the details of what and why about circumcision this morning, but just know that any time Paul mentions it, he's talking about people obeying rules to be good enough for God. So we're going to be back at verse 1 a lot this morning. Verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And directly after this, Paul warns the Galatians to steer clear of circumcision and the rules associated with it. Legalism, following rules, is going to take their freedom away. Let's read verses 2 to 4 from today's passage together. They say, "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ and you've fallen away from grace." So any time we try to be right with God by following rules, we're going to fall short. We'll be slaves because we'll never be able to do enough. Trying to be free by rules will alienate or take us away from God. And that means that Jesus is useless to us. Now, this doesn't look like freedom to me. In Paul's words in verse 1, instead of giving freedom, legalism will just be a burden. So losing our freedom as Christians obviously is an issue, because many people do think Christianity is just a bunch of rules, because it's been taught to them that way. The issue of legalism is literally as old as the Bible, and it's a lesson that we still need to remember now. So we see extreme rule following will not get you anywhere in terms of freedom. If legalism isn't free, then what is? While some Galatians have strayed towards legalism, others had gone to the opposite end, thinking that a life of obligation-free living would make them free. The logical step away from legalism is to put ourselves as the boss instead of the rules. If we're really free, we should be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. Now, when I was in high school, this was actually exactly the freedom that I imagined came with independence. For 18-year-old me, ideal freedom looked like doing whatever I wanted, and that was surfing. I wanted to be a dull bludger and surf every single day. I didn't want to have any commitments. Actually, I just wanted to surf. And I actually got a chance to live this ideal freedom when I finished year 12. Every night before bed, I'd check the surf report. And if it looked good for the next morning, I'd go surfing. And I thought this was freedom. I thought I had it all figured out. I was doing exactly what I wanted to do. Until one day, I realised that I couldn't miss any good waves if they were on their way. Because I'd wanted this freedom of surfing all the time, I couldn't commit to anything in case the waves would be good. Any level of responsibility was cramping my ideal freedom. I was ruled by it. I'd become a slave to my own happiness, and that would never be satisfied because there was always more waves to catch. As a result, I was never happy. I'd actually set myself up to fail, and I couldn't be satisfied because I was always missing waves and being let down. Once again, this freedom doesn't look so free. The other side of legalism is actually living obligation-free, and they both have the same outcome. Both result in being trapped and being left unsatisfied. These are the two ways to lose freedom that Paul tells us about. And while they promise to satisfy, they'll only leave us feeling empty and unsatisfactory. Anytime we set ourselves up to be free, we will have the same outcome. Remember verse 1? Jesus is meant to set us free. Well, as a Christian, maybe your life doesn't look so free. And if you aren't a Christian, maybe looking in, all you see is a bunch of rules. Well, if this is the case, I actually reckon you've got the wrong view of Christianity. So let's look into what the Bible tells us freedom really is. This is our second point today, true freedom. So we know that freedom comes from Christ. We see that in verse 1 of our passage. Now, Jesus has done one really important thing to set us free. He died on the cross. What does this achieve? Well, let's take a quick look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That'll be up on the screen. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we deserve death, but Jesus gives us life. We are being given life rather than death, and it's completely undeserved. This is true freedom. We're not made free by anything that we've done, but instead by what Jesus has done. So I want you to imagine a prisoner on death row. He's been convicted for murder and sentenced to death. He's locked in, guilty. And we know with death row that there's only one way out, and that's in a coffin. The prisoner's locked in there with no chance. Even good behaviour for years on end isn't going to make any difference in terms of his predicament because he's sentenced to death. Even chasing happiness in his jail cell, making himself the boss, isn't going to make him feel any better because he knows what's coming for him. Now imagine on the outside, there's a lawyer who decides to look into the prisoner's case to see if there's any way to prove some kind of innocence. So after hours and hours of painstaking research and going through evidence, guess what? The prisoner still looks very, very guilty because he is There's nothing that can make him innocent. And instead of proving him innocent, looking into evidence has actually just reminded everyone of how guilty the prisoner really is. So this prisoner begins to lose hope, and rightly so. But the lawyer makes one more radical suggestion. This upstanding lawyer offers to take the prisoner's place on death row. The free lawyer wants to give the prisoner freedom, and so takes the penalty for him. And because the lawyer takes his place, the prisoner's crimes will not be counted against him. His record is totally cleared, and he is a free man. Purely through the lawyer's actions, the prisoner is set free. He's able to enjoy life without execution hanging over his head. He's got a new lease on life and a new life to live. Nothing the prisoner could have done would have altered his position. It was only through the lawyer's sacrifice that he could be free. Now, of course, this wouldn't really happen in our legal system, would it? Because you can't just take someone's place. But let me tell you, it's already happened in another system, and that's the system of the gospel. We are sentenced to death because of our crimes against God. We're on death row with no hope of innocence or getting out on good behaviour. It's only through the gift of God that we can be set free. Now, imagine how stupid that prisoner would have to be to turn down the offer of freedom, preferring to try and set himself free. Maybe he says, "Oh, look, no thanks. Thanks for your offer, but no, I'm actually going to keep plugging away at the good behaviour. I think I'm finally starting to make some progress." Or he says, "Oh, no thanks. I'm going to keep having all the fun I can in my cell before my time runs out. I think it's best this way." Isn't that just crazy? But we do exactly the same thing. We will never be set free by good behaviour, by following rules, but we keep on trying. We have an offer for freedom, but we constantly turn it down. We think we'll break free with good behaviour or be satisfied with hollow enjoyment. But this just takes our freedom away because it takes us away from Jesus. The only way to be truly free is to rely on what Jesus has done to set us free. Once we taste this freedom of Christ, it would be crazy to leave it behind for the so-called freedoms of rule-following or obligation-free living. Relying on someone greater than us for our freedom is a way better form of freedom because we are always messing up. If my life is defined by me, it's going to be full of mistakes. But instead, Jesus takes care of my freedom, mistake-free. That is true freedom. Here's an easy question for everyone here. Do you want to be free? Yeah, I'm sure we all do. Rely on Jesus' death on the cross, where he took your place on death row. Rest in the fact that this is enough to set you free. Christian freedom comes through Jesus and Jesus only. Now, most of us have freedom ideals that don't really get lived out. I had ideal freedoms when I planned on moving out of home, and the reality was actually worlds apart from what that freedom looked like. So our third point today is about living free as Christians. In practice, what is this freedom going to feel and look like for us as Christians? And if you're thinking of committing to a life of following Jesus, what can you expect? Well, the Apostle Paul in our passage today gives us a few peeks into the Christian freedom. And a heads up, it may not look exactly how you expect. Our first look into living free is in verse 5 of our passage. Let's read that together. It says, "For through the Spirit We eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Now, the first thing to notice here is that we are eagerly waiting. We're not told to eagerly work to make ourselves right with God, but instead wait for it. Because Jesus has done the work, so we don't have to. We also have the word hope pop up in this verse, which can have two meanings. Hope can mean the potential of something amazing happening. For example, I hope I win the lottery. Or it can be a hope looking forward to something certain, like the hope of Christmas that we see in children. In this verse, Paul is talking about hope as a certainty. We are sure of our freedom, so we can wait rather than constantly striving. So we embrace our freedom and enjoy it as a gift from God. Now, as you think of living free, of true freedom, what do you imagine? Maybe you're lying on a deck chair, sipping a cocktail and doing nothing. Well, this actually isn't how Paul paints Christian freedom in our passage. As free Christians, we use our freedom, not just lazing around. In verse 6, we see that faith will express itself through love. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the very next verse after today's reading, it tells us not to use our freedom to be selfish, but instead to serve one another. That is what Christian freedom lived out will look like. We are set free and we don't earn that, but instead of doing nothing as a result, we act. Our freedom is shown by what we do. Like death row prisoners set free, we've got a new lease on life, and our freedom defines our actions. As we know, today is the 11th of November, and we remember 100 years since the end of World War I. I reckon the Aussie soldiers in World War I are a great example of using their freedom to serve other people. Now, the Australians weren't forced to fight in the war, but over 416,000 men were still willing to give up their freedom to serve those around them. Australia was a long, long way from the conflict when they signed up, and they could have used this freedom to sit back and relax. But instead, they put their name down for the greater cause, sacrificing their own comfort and, in many cases, their lives. They worked for the freedom of others. Their freedom was shown by their actions. Now, Jesus has done the same thing for us. He was sitting up in heaven, and that is about as far from the issues of this earth as you can get. But he didn't sit back. He got to work. He gave up his freedom to set us free. And he's gone even better than the soldiers because he's given us true freedom once for all. When we understand this, we're not going to find our Christian freedom as an excuse to sit back and relax. True freedom means seeing the tragedy of those people around us sitting on death row and fighting for them. Paul the Apostle, the guy who writes to us about freedom in Galatians, eventually lost his life contending for the freedom of others. Jesus has set us free from death. And I hope that this morning you've been able to see that the only way we can be free is to rest in Jesus taking our place. If you're learning about Christianity for the first time, I hope this morning's shown you that it's not just a bunch of rules. Rules won't give us freedom. Instead, they're just a burden. So if you're not a Christian, why don't you stop constantly striving to be free and let Jesus take your place? Stop being a slave to good behaviour or empty living and start resting instead. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So here is your invite to true freedom. And for you Christians living, for you Christians listening, I hope today's been an awesome reminder for you that firstly, nothing you do adds to your freedom. Jesus is the only way. And let's not forget that. But also, let's use our freedom as we live. Being saved means getting in the trenches and fighting for the lives of others. Let your freedom be shown by what you do. Don't sit on the deck chair, because the cause for freedom is worth fighting for. Now, the Christian freedom isn't easy, but I'm sure that it's so much better than dying on death row. So be set free and use your freedom to help set others free. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for setting us free. We deserve death, but you've given us life. Help us to embrace this rather than replacing it with false freedom through rules or empty living. Thanks that Jesus gave up his freedom to serve us, and I pray that we use our newfound freedom in him to fight for the freedom of others. Amen.